You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Well, I got my co-pilot back today, or maybe I should call you my pilot.
I should, some sort of guide, I think, yes. I kind of like subdue you a little.
Yeah. I was flying solo the other day. And
yeah, you sure do speak hyperbolically a lot. I hope the listeners understand that.
I was throwing down.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I heard, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, hyperbole comes from two Greek words, right? Balo, to throw, hyper, beyond, to throw beyond. I was throwing beyond.
I think it means
throwing down.
Exaggeration to make a point.
Well, some of it. But I meant what I said. We're talking about James Thompson.
Okay, anyway.
Saying Trump is saved. Anyway. Hey, we're not going to talk about Dobson per se, but we are going to mention it because there's been a new development, a new wrinkle in the saga.
Okay.
The saga between Dobson and Trump.
Well, is it between
Tune
the two
in
or the
Thursday Dobson and the evangelicals?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's it, more like it.
Hey, let's talk about Proverbs 29 first.
Oh, really? You're going to bring up the Proverbs? That's
yeah,
me. Okay.
Well, it is, but I'm learning. I'm learning. That's why I need you in the, you know, up here in the cockpit. Help me fly this thing.
All right. What does Proverbs 29 say?
Well, just going to pick out a few of the verses. Here's one. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Let me say it one more time, the last half. When a wicked man rules, the people groan. There's a whole lot of groaning going on in America today.
Yes, we hear it.
You know, Jerry Lee sang a song.
I don't think it was groaning, but
shaking. A whole lot of shaking going on. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Shaking up the pot. There is some
yeah.
that going on.
Oh, I know it. But Barack Obama, you talk about a wicked man, and you talk about the people groaning. Now, listen to this.
It's only some people, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of people who think he's doing a
happy,
good job,
yeah.
And they're happy, and they're agitating, but it's to their own destruction. You know that, and I know that. We talked about how the LGBT community is sort of eating its own now, imploding in on itself. Their authority comes from their experience. The more marginalized a person is, well, the more authority to speak to a particular issue he has. And so if you're transgendered, if you're non-binary, if you're Latina, then you can speak to the transgender issue. But if you're a cis white dude, even though you're trying to queer the church and queer the world, just shut up. That's their position now. So multiculturalism, once again, splintering, you know, their own hegemony.
Okay.
Or hemogeny.
Yes. Now, you talked about that a lot, so what about Proverbs?
Well, no, I'm just making the point.
Okay.
So they're going to be groaning. Because, well, they're creating a society where they're killing themselves and they don't realize it. See, we don't have a free society anymore. They think they're fighting for freedom, but they're not fighting for freedom at all. They're fighting for power is what they're fighting for. And it's going to backfire on them. It's already backfiring on them. That's the point. But here's the president and the Supreme Court. The U.S. government, did you hear this issue out in Washington State? You have this law out there saying that the pharmacist, Christian pharmacist, for example, they must sell the morning after pill, which is an abortifacient. It murders babies. And so the Christian pharmacist objected on religious grounds. It's a violation of their conscience. They said, look, we don't want to have to sell this pill. You know, another pharmacist can sell it, or they can go down the street or whatever. But the Ninth Circuit,
an exception, like we normal exemption, like
well, sure.
we people normally get for, you know, they're giving Muslims time off to pray.
Sure,
This is an exemption.
Well, yeah, And again, I don't believe you should force businesses to allow Muslims time off to pray. I don't think a business should allow a Christian time off to pray.
That's true.
A business is a business. You want to come and work for me, you can work on my terms, or you can go work somewhere else. That's called freedom.
And as a business owner, I could make accommodations should I like.
Right. That's right. And so if I'm a Christian, I want to go work for somebody, but I want, you know, 30 minutes a day prayer time, he won't give it to me. My freedom is not being violated or harmed. My religious freedom is not being infringed upon. I can pray at home. I can go work somewhere else. I can work for myself. In other words, it's called freedom. We don't force people to accommodate me. That's the problem. See, we're all confused. We get into accommodations and, you know, then we're going to accommodate everybody. And this is where we are now. There's no freedom anymore. It's just accommodation.
Yeah, it's all total accommodation.
Right.
We're in gridlock.
That's it.
Just
gridlock,
like government.
And the total splintering of society.
But what was this case about? You know, was it a company that was not having them?
I don't know the details of the case.
It's
just pharmacists in general.
Okay.
And the point that I was going to make is that the U.S. Supreme Court, so they appealed, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. Sam Alito said it's a dangerous precedent. You think? I mean, you're a little late to the party there, Mr. Sam Alito. But anyway, I'm glad he said it. But this has been going on for several years. We did a broadcast several years ago on this whole issue because we know Christian pharmacists and they're having to violate their consciences. But there again, people have the right. Actually, people do not. Let me just clarify. You do not have the right, first off, to the morning after pill, because the morning after pill is murder. And if you have a civil society, you do not have a right to do that. Otherwise, it's not a civil society. You don't have a right to kill babies. But let's say you want to purchase something like a wedding cake. You have the right to seek to purchase a wedding cake, but you don't have the right to a wedding cake. Do you see the distinction that I'm making?
If
someone doesn't want to sell you the wedding cake for whatever the reason, maybe they don't like your bushy eyebrows.
I was sitting here just thinking that.
Well, I mean, they don't have to stay at the wedding. Say I walk into a bakery and the baker says, you know what? You're a little overweight. I'm not going to sell you a cake today.
Oh, that wouldn't get as big a fallback as
some
of this other
no,
stuff.
No, that's fine. And I might be offended, but he doesn't have to sell me the cake. I don't have a right to his cake. Where do we get the idea that I have a right to his cake? See, this is where the homosexuals are wrong. You don't have a right to someone else's cake. Now, you have the right to seek to buy a cake. So you can go down the street. Maybe somebody else is happy to sell you a cake. Maybe I walk into the next bakery and the guy says, oh, man, look at this fat guy. I could sell him cake after cake after cake after cake. I don't care how fat he gets. I don't care if he dies of a heart attack as long as he's buying cakes until he does. That's called freedom, baby. I'm just saying. Right? I mean, let's get real here.
Okay.
Let's throw down, not throw beyond. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm not kidding. I mean, all that's true. So because of President Obama, the Supreme Court, and where we're going, the U.S. government and our culture, wicked man rules the people groan. How about this? The king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. See, you got a king, a righteous person, who's establishing the land by justice. That's fine. Very few and far between in the history of the world, by the way. The Bible tells us that human government is basically evil. Satan's behind it. We understand that. But let's say you have a ruler who's establishing the land by justice. That's a good deal. That's a good thing. But he who receives bribes overthrows it. You think any of our politicians are taking bribes today?
Campaign donations?
Well, there you go. See, I'm sure they're taking what we might call a bribe, but not only the campaign donate, but lobbying groups, special interest groups. See, it's a whole system of bribery.
It really is.
Of course it is. It's legalized bribery.
It's a nobody that might have good character, good education, perfect for a job. They're not going to be elected because they have to have the mechanism, lots of money to be elected.
That's right. So we got legalized bribery going on, and the Bible says that when the rulers start taking bribes, well, the land is overthrown. And guess what? America
groaning
and overthrowing. That's right. America's groaning and America's being overthrown. Now, we're going to make some positive statements in a minute. We're going to talk about what we need to do, but we're just setting this up. We're just looking at a few verses out of Proverbs 29. One of the things that we need to realize when we look at these verses is that the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God is as relevant today as ever. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
That was a dumb question.
Even more so. Yeah, that was like a Sunday school question. Is the Bible
would you
good?
Agree? Yeah. Anyway, I like these interviewers who get these authors in there on the radio show, you know, and they quote something out of their book. And then, it's like they ask him a question. And here, you know, here's what you say on page 72, and yada 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 yada. And then they make a comment, and they go, "Would you agree?" I'm just waiting for one of these guys to say, "Well, I wrote it in the book, didn't I?"
Yeah,
what kind of a question is that? Is the Bible good? Would you agree? How about this one? Scoffers set a city aflame. You know, we've got some cities that are literally in flames, but this is sort of metaphorical. Our country is in flames. Our country is burning. Why? Because of scoffers, because we've rejected God. So scoffers set a city aflame. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. So now we've got, listen to this, not only have we got a corrupt ruler, but all the ruler's helpers, all the ruler's assistants, they become wicked as well. That's the system. That's the system in America. How true is Scripture? Here's another one out of Proverbs 29. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases. Yep. Now here's a word of encouragement, though, but the righteous will see their fall. It's not that we want anyone to go to hell, but we do want to see the fall of this system, this evil system under which we find ourselves oppressed and tyrannized. It's only getting worse. We want to see its fall. We want to see its overthrow. We want to see God's kingdom rule and reign. All right, now here's one where there is no revelation. The people cast off restraint. Now, you think about, you going to say something? I'm going to say something.
I was just
too,
shaking
but,
my head. Wow.
Yeah, well, you think about it. You think about Israel during the intertestamental period, for example. There's 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. No word from God, no prophetic vision, no prophet, no revelation. What happens? Downward spiral into sin. The people cast off restraint. So you look at cultures. You look at nations. People don't have a word from God. They don't have revelation. Guess what? They cast off restraint. And now here we find ourselves in America, a country that was founded on, a good number of Christian values and Christian principles, held sway for a long, long time, though they were being eroded from very early on. And we've got the revelation of God. We've got the Word of God in our hands. It's called the Scriptures. It's called the Bible. We're not looking for new revelation. We're not like Paula White or Benny Hinn looking for an audible word from God. Right?
Right.
But we've got revelation. But here's the problem. It seems to me that the churches... Now, again, there's a lot of good churches out there. Don't get me wrong. A lot of good Christians who are doing what they're supposed to be doing out there. And I'm not perfect. But some of what we see happening in our culture, we need to sort of self-examine. We need to look at ourselves. We need to look at the evangelical world. That's why I mentioned James Dobson at the outset. Now, hang on. But see, if we reject the truth, if we don't speak the truth in love, if we don't proclaim the truth, there's a very real sense in which we have a nation that is without revelation. And when there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Do you think that we live in a culture where the people are casting off restraint? I mean, that's an understatement, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
It is an understatement.
It is an understatement. So here's James Dobson declaring Trump safe, for example. There's a new wrinkle I mentioned a moment ago. You know what the new wrinkle is?
What is the new wrinkle?
Well, Dobson has now come out and said, well, I'm not real sure he accepted Christ. Wait, what? You said you were sure.
You said that too quick. I was going to say that.
Oh.
But anyway, you're right.
He's accepted a relationship with Jesus Christ, whatever that means. That's what you said, James. But see, here we got the Arminian, the man-centered, psycho-Bible, evangelical, political spokesmodel, declaring Trump saved in unbiblical words. Why and how would he do that? We've already talked about that. We're not going to go down that road again. Bad theology, of course, and pandering to Trump and hoping Trump will pander to us. And that's really the bottom line. Wants Trump to pander to us evangelicals so we can get the goodies. We want to get back to where we were. We want to get the moral majority back. We don't have the moral majority, but we want that power. We want a seat at the table. We want to be invited up to the White House. Have drinks. Have a little finger food. We're not going to drink too much because we're evangelicals. Now, I wouldn't advocate drinking too much. I'm sort of actually being sarcastic. I think there's a lot of evangelicals that go to these big... Anyway, never mind. I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
Yes, you need to be careful.
Well, I'm just saying they love to go to the White House.
Oh, yeah.
They love it.
Yep.
Sitting in the big chair. Looking across from the president.
Okay, I was going to say, they're not sitting in the big chair.
Well, no, not the big chair. They're actually sitting in the low chair and they don't know it.
Yes.
They're being handled. Anyway, I'm getting too far afield. So you're not restraining me. See, here's what Proverbs 29 says. You ready for this? Oh, man. If Dr. Dobson were here, many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from Donald Trump. Is that what it says?
That's not what it says.
That's not what it says. Justice for man comes from the Lord. That's what it says. Many seek the ruler's favor. That's what we're doing. So anyway, Dobson's backstroking. He could come out and coach my swim team a little bit on the backstroke. He's looking pretty good. I said, okay, well, what are you saying? He said, well, I'm not sure he accepted Christ. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said you knew who the person was that led him to Christ. Oh, yeah, I know who that is. And, yeah, I mean, he said this, he said that. I just don't know if he really, did he really accept Christ? I mean, it's up to him, right? Did he really accept Christ? Nothing about did God really save him? Did God change his heart? Did God grant him repentance? Did God grant him faith? Just don't know if he really accepted Christ. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's our position anyway, when people
claim
the Lord. We do take them on face value, but we do wait and see.
But listen to the language.
I know.
I don't ask the question, did a man really, it is a relationship,
well,
but I'm not asking the question, did he really accept Christ? It ain't a matter of him accepting Christ. Hey, you like my grammar? It's a matter of whether or not God is saved. That's what I'm trying to get God-centered instead of man-centered. Does that make sense?
Okay.
I'm just trying to get God-centered instead of man-centered.
Okay.
So anyway, well, who is it that led Trump to Christ? Now, here's the question. This is what put to Dobson. Guess who led Trump to Christ?
Somebody named Paula White.
Paula White! I'm glad you don't know who she is. But I do. Paula White is one of these charismatic preachers. She's like a health, wealth, name it, claim it, faith healer. I don't know, the whole bit. God talks to me. She's been accused of having an affair with Benny Hinn. I don't know what the details are there. Benny Hinn's the same kind of deal. Russell Moore, I'm going to give Russell Moore some credit. Russell Moore came out and said that Paula White, regardless of the denomination, she is a heretic. Any denomination, any biblical denomination or tribe, something like that. He said, Paula White's a heretic. I'm glad somebody came out and said something like that, because we got so many heretics running around out there claiming to be Christians, giving Jesus Christ a bad name, and our evangelical leaders are, not that we want to run around criticizing everybody, but we've got to make some distance between ourselves and these people, because what do you call it? Name it, claim it, health, wealth, gospel, what you see on television, the whole let's get rich and, you know, let's all be about ourselves and let's just say whatever we want, make up stuff and not use the scriptures. This has nothing to do with biblical Christianity, and we need to call it what it is. It's heresy. Straight out of the pit of hell.
True.
Yeah. I mean, it grieves my heart that, there's some people out there who are saved who are in a Pentecostal denomination. I'll grant that. But the vast majority of these people who love Benny Hinn or Paula White or whatever, they do not know the Jesus of the Scriptures. And somebody just needs to be honest so that they might ultimately be saved.
Agreed. Now,
can
I take you back to the pharmacist thing?
Well, you can if you want to. I mean,
well, I just had read the article. It's actually a small family-owned pharmacy.
Okay.
That, you know, they want control of what they stock.
Sure.
And, you know, new laws are making it actually more convenient, like over-the-counter this morning after pill. But this family-owned pharmacy was wanting the right not to carry it, and,
sure.
and it goes that would go against the state law. So that's what it was. It wasn't a pharmacist; it was a family-owned pharmacy.
Well, they're pharmacists.
They are, but I'm saying it was their own store, and they didn't want to carry it, and they refuse. They would tell people they would.
We don't carry it.
Yeah.
And you think the government should force them to carry it?
No.
Well,
and
sounding sympathetic with the state law. This is a big difference.
I'm saying that.
This is worse.
No, what I was saying is like pharmacies can say, okay, we're going to carry it. And then a pharmacist that refuses to do that on religious grounds, accommodation could be made or not. That is freedom. But here you have a business that they should have the right to decide. It's the cake issue.
Here's the deal. Let's just clarify. Let's say Eckerd's wants to, Rite Aid, I don't know. Let's say they want to carry the morning after pill. Well, I think that ought to be illegal because it's murder of babies. Okay? But it's legal. So let's just get that on the table. Should be illegal, but it's not. But since it's legal, if they decide to carry the morning after pill, that's their prerogative, and people can come in and seek to purchase it, right? We're on the same page so far. Now,
yes.
Let's say you've got a Christian pharmacist in there. He says, well, I don't want to sell this pill. He should not be forced to sell the pill. Okay? That's what we're saying. It violates his conscience. Now, let's look at the other issue. Here's a couple. They own their pharmacy, as you say. It's a family owned, and they don't even carry the pill. You're saying that the state is forcing them to carry the pill, the morning after pill.
That's correct.
I'm saying the state, and I know you agree, should not force them to carry the pill. They shouldn't have to carry something they don't want to.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not freedom.
Nor do they have to carry Pepsi.
That's exactly right. And see, there's stores all over that make those kinds of decisions. You go in a restaurant, they have Pepsi products versus Coke products. What are we going to do?
Force them to do
yeah. both?
I like Coke. Let's
because there's
like
some
Pepsi.
People, that's right. I like Coke better than Pepsi. That's exactly right. So, see, this is the sticky wicket, if I could use that terminology, that you get into when you start forcing people to do stuff rather than just say, let's have a little bit of freedom. Now, let's go to a third issue because there's a remaining question that you raised.
Okay.
What about the Christian pharmacist that works at Eckerd's? Eckerd's doesn't have to hire the Christian pharmacist if they don't want to. You say, wait a minute, that's religious discrimination. Eckerd's is a privately owned, as long as it's a privately owned company, I don't care. It's about liberty, and Eckerd's ought to have liberty just like I ought to have liberty. If I'm a pharmacist, I can go work at Rite Aid or somewhere. I say, well, what if you can't work for one of the big chains? Okay, then you go work for mom and pop. You go work at the hospital. I'm just simply saying it's about freedom. And look, if you're a Christian and you know before you go to pharmacy school you're probably not going to be able to get a job, guess what? You won't be a pharmacist. Go be something else. It's easy.
Well, it's getting complicated. Well, you can't even be
I'm saying if freedom ruled the day, it would be easy.
It would be easy.
All right, so now let's say that the Eckerd's hires the Christian pharmacist, and all of a sudden he says, hey, I don't want to sell this pill. Well, Eckerd's has the right to say you have to, and he can either do that or get another job. Eckerd's has the right. But here's what, the government does not have the right. The government does not have the right. You say, well, why does Eckerd's? Because it's a privately owned company and they can do what they want. They can require their employees to do whatever's legal. And if the employee doesn't like it, guess what? He has the right to quit. He doesn't have to sell that pill. It's about freedom. So now let's say, well, what about a pharmacist working in a hospital? Well, is it government funded? Is it government subsidized? I'm just saying, yeah, there are a lot of issues out there that we could talk about. But if you apply the principle of freedom and liberty rather than religious accommodation, or rather than non-discrimination, or rather than forcing people to do something they don't want to do, if you apply the liberty principle, the answer is always easy. Okay? It might be inconvenient for a lot of folk, but that's not the issue. It's about looking through a biblical lens so that we might have a free society. All right, so we went back to the pharmacy issue because we were talking about bad rulers and bad government. Then we jumped over to the Dobson issue once again because we're talking about many seeking the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. The point being that evangelicals are seeking favor from the king when they ought to be seeking favor from God. And if we were doing our job rather than going up to, New York and having a big meeting with Donald Trump because we know he's going to be president. We don't know that. A lot of evangelicals don't think he's going to make it. I do. By the way, I'm on record. I think he's going to win. I'm voting for him. He's not my first choice. But anyway, that's beside the point. I've thought about it enough why I feel comfortable in voting for him at this point. I'm not telling you that you should. I'm just making a statement. But here's what I'm saying. I'm not going to go pandering to Donald Trump, but I don't want Donald Trump to pander to me. I want Donald Trump to be true to his convictions, whatever they might be. And I'll be true to my convictions, whatever they might be. And Christians, we ought to be true to our convictions. That's the issue. And the way to make America great again is to realize it ain't about making America great again. It ain't about us. It's about the kingdom of God. That's what we have to see. And what we were going to do is spend about 10, 12 minutes on that. But you know what? We're going to have to come back and do like a whole 30-minute broadcast on that.
That's right, right, you're right.
It's okay. You know why? Because that was enough. Because this is a whole other topic. So next time we're going to talk about making America great again. But not really, because it's not about that. It's about the kingdom. But we'll do it. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
We're going to do it. So this time, we're satisfied with saying to our brothers and sisters, it's not about seeking favor from Trump or Obama or Hillary or anyone else, because justice comes from the Lord.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List. The gospel. The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.